ignore this. This is for my ears.
This Sunday morning. I know it's very hot, so it's not easy to come to church in this kind of weather, but we're happy that we are all here to praise God and praise the same Lord that we all serve. Today's service is going to be on friendships, which can be a very sensitive topic for Christians because, you know, a lot of people struggle. Who do we make friends with? Where do we draw the line? A lot of Christians will bring up the fact that, well, Jesus ate with sinners, so, you know, surely there shouldn't be a problem. So we're going to tackle all those difficult areas of where we draw the line as Christians with friendships, who to make friends with, who to not, especially for both all Christians of all ages, really. Friendships can always be a difficult area with finances or in school or at work. So we're going to be talking about all that in today's service. So I hope everyone is ready. Next, we are going to do the birthday box. So does anyone have any upcoming birthdays, either today, last week, or maybe in the coming week? Any birthdays, children? No one? Any adults, adult birthdays? You can just raise your hand and... Who, where? Oh, happy birthday, happy birthday. Great. Yes, so we are going to sing happy birthday for Alan and for anyone else. Who? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, so we'll sing happy birthday for all the celebrants in the room. So I'm just going to open us in prayer before we go into our next batch of songs. Dear Lord, once again, thank you for bringing us all to church this morning. For some people, it may be really difficult to get out of bed, whether in the heat or in the cold, for whatever situation. But thank you for those of us that are here today, Lord. And those that couldn't make it, Lord, we pray that they still feel your presence in their homes or for whatever reasons that they couldn't come to church, Lord. I pray that you meet them where they are, Lord, and you speak to them and you fill them with your hope and your spirit. And I pray that as we start this service, Lord, I pray that everyone's hearts will be open to be learning more from your word and your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the next song we have is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, because really, who is a better friend than Jesus? So, yeah, when you're ready.
We offer for free.
this next song just really emphasizes the love of God, because as we know, friendship equals love and love equals friendship. And as we said earlier, there's no better role model for love and friendship than Jesus. So the next song is I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. When you're ready.
Cause I'm so more to arise. Father, we thank you this morning that because of love, you set the captives free. We worship you, O God, because you are the way, and you are the truth, and you are the life, Jesus. We give you glory and honor, Father God, because you are an awesome God. And church, this morning, as before we got here, I felt that need. He's just awesome. He's awesome. And let's sing, He is an awesome God together. Amen. Amen. Because our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings. Some power and love, our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings. Some power and love. All glory unto his name. Amen? Amen. It's all about Jesus this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So before I introduce our guest speaker this morning, which is my brother-in-law, so you've got to be nice to him when he comes up in a minute. But as you know, it's all about friendship this morning. And yesterday I went out to a friend's barbecue, and one of the people came up to me and said, "Ricky, you've really, really changed." And I'm thinking, I must be closer to God. They can see the spirit living within me. And they said, "I never would have dreamed you would have wore Crocs and socks together." So I'm hoping Mark can help me deal with that pain this morning, amen? But Mark, if you'd like to come up, that'd be great, amen? Amen.
Green light. Yay, here we go. So first of all, very, very good morning to you all. It's a real privilege to be here. I'm here with my wife, my beautiful wife, Amy. Does definitely deserves a bit of a round of applause. And my dinosaur expert son, George. I'm not sure where he is. He's probably looking for bugs or something. But that's my family. So we're really, really pleased to be here this morning. And you know, thank you to Pastor Nathan and to Ricky for the invite today, and for the youth for giving me the subject matter today, which was friendships, ones you need and ones you might not. And I hear that you've been going through some bit of a series on God-centered relationships, and I'd love to just add a little bit to that, if that's okay, this morning. But where we're going to start, we're going to start at the beginning, in Genesis, and hopefully that'll come up. Here we go. So we are quite familiar, hopefully, with Genesis, and we remember that, you know, the creation account starts from the very beginning. And as God is creating, he's almost given a bit of a running commentary to as he's creating. And we hear that He creates various stages of creation and says, "The Lord saw that it was good." However, there's something that changes when he comes to creating man. where he stops and makes a slightly different comment and says, it's not good for man to be alone. Now, this is before sin enters the world. It's nothing to do with sin. This is about how God has created us. Now, we know with Adam, he provided Eve and the family and community on after that. But what God is saying is that we are not made to be alone. He's created us as communal beings. We're supposed to connect with each other. We're not supposed to be alone. And very often when we come to a subject like this, there'll be some of us thinking, no, I don't need friendships. It's not for me. I'm a lone wolf. I'm tough. I just don't need it. I'm all right on my own. But actually, God hasn't created you that way. This isn't about sin, but this can then become, if we don't have the God-centered relationships in our life, this can become a real vulnerability for us because we're not supposed to be alone. And therefore, it can lead us down different paths that we shouldn't be going down with the wrong type of relationship. And the enemy will absolutely capitalize on that. So, loneliness is not a sin. Feeling like we need friends isn't a sin. But what we do about that could be. So let's start by looking at some passages of wisdom from Proverbs to start to discuss the subject together. So Proverbs 18, please. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, like a lot of proverbs, there are extremes. There's the fantastic friend that sticks closer than a brother. And on the other extreme, we've got these unreliable friends bringing us to ruin. Now, this is very much reflected in our everyday life. Hopefully, most of us have got maybe a few, maybe one person that we would say is our friend or somebody that sticks closer than a brother. But we've also got this plural of friends that are unreliable and they bring us to ruin. Now, Nathan introduced you recently to the leeches, didn't he, in his series involving Jonathan. But these are influencers. These are the people that I'll introduce you to this morning. So in other words, you have these few friends in your life that are stick close to the brother, but then this whole multitude of unreliable friends that can bring us to ruin. And this group of unreliable friends, I will call our influencers. Now, before you start thinking, well, influencers is at social media, no, all of us in this room have influences in our life. Anybody that we come into contact with, it could be, yes, your school friend, it could be your college friend, your university friend, it could be your neighbour, it could be your brother, your family, it could be somebody at work, people who are out there who have opinions about you, telling you how you should be doing things, what you should be bearing, how you should treat the opposite sex, what kind of relationships you should be in, what opinions you should have, what you should eat, what you should drink, anything. They're all willing to tell you. It's up to us whether we listen to them or not. But these influencers, they can set the standard of how you see success. You're not be thinking, oh, well, I haven't got a lot of money, I'm not very successful, I haven't got this, I haven't got that. But the only reason you think that is success is because that's what you think all these other people do and would approve of you. And we're so keen to please the crowd, so keen to please those influencers in our life, to the point where even our own identification comes from other people. Who are they to tell us who we should be? The trouble is that pleasing the crowd is intoxicating. And there's so many voices coming at us, do this, do that, be this, be that. And Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. But how can we hear the voice of God in that racket? Of all those voices coming at us, how do we even hear the voice of God? And there's another voice that's coming as well, and it's growing very, 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 very quickly. And we've got to be really careful with this. This is AI. I spent a couple of days with my boss's boss the other day, and he spent the whole day with me, amongst other things, talking to ChatGPT. And he's changed the voice on it, so he likes the voice. He's even named it Bob. But he's talking at it throughout the whole day like a friend. And then, towards the end of the day, we're in Hastings. He says, hi, Bob, I'm in Hastings. Can you recommend somewhere for me to eat? And it did. And he said, oh, great, I'll go there tonight. And I said, well, surely you're going to look at a few more options. Oh, no, Bob knows me. I've asked him so many questions. It's got to know me. And now it knows where I like to eat. So I trust it. It's like, whoa. Now, recently, John Lennox made an observation in a discussion. He said that AI is omniscient, i.e. so all-knowing. You can ask any question. It's omnipresent. So it's everywhere you walk, it's everywhere you go. Who is it trying to replace? Be careful. Now, we're going to look at a quick case study in Galatians 1. This is Paul, quite upset. He's birthed, supported, mentored churches in Galatia. But now he's upset with them, and here's why. He says to them, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. But evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. Strong language. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody's preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I'm still trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Quick bit of background. He's upset because this, you know, fairly new church have suddenly become confused and diverted by these influencers that have come into the church and have perverted what Paul has told them, thrown into confusion. So these influencers were even there back then. But what we think they were saying to the church was, Paul's introduced this gospel to you, well, you haven't got to follow the law. It must be really, really weak. I think he's only made it up to make men like him. And that's why Paul is saying, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? He's defending his position. But when was the last time that you asked this question of yourself? Am I trying to win the approval of human beings, influencers, unreliable friends, or of God? You find yourself, you know, at school, college, work, you're in them situations where I really want to please people, I want to follow the crowd, I want to do what they're saying, but how do I do that and keep God happy? How do I, because they're two different things, I know this is pleasing God, what do I do? And the truth is that sometimes, a lot of the time, we choose man, don't we? And this leads us to a trap in Proverbs 29, please. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Again, these two opposing statements here. What do you mean fear of man? I don't think men are going to beat me up. I don't feel threatened. I mean, we're, you know, fortunate in this country. That's not as we can be Christians and worship freely, can't we? But there's another fear that comes in. The fear of not pleasing man. So for the youth, it's very much, well, if I stand up for Jesus or act like a Christian, be a Christian, I'm going to lose all my friends because they think it's weird. I'm not going to be able to have these kind of relationships. I'm not going to be able to have watch this. I'm not going to be able to speak like this. And the trap is, you can't get out because in order to get out, you've got to give this up. And it's too, it means so much. We want the love. We don't want to be alone. We want to connect. We want that approval. And if we get out and go to God, we feel like we lose so much. For those that we wouldn't say are the youth, just other people in the room, there's also a trap for you as well. And I felt the Lord really impressed this on me prior to this morning, that, you know, there are those in the room that are isolated. In the past, you've been hurt by man, by what they've said, by what they've done. And you are, there is no way I'm getting into friendships again. There's no way you're going to hurt me again. And those walls are tall and thick. And you're in your own trap. Because the fear of man for you is if you do step out for a friendship, you're going to get hurt again. And you're not prepared to go through that again. So how do we get out of these traps? I've got two quick tips. Then we're going to find out what Jesus has to say about all of this. Proverbs 13. Now, this may be one that you know very well. Walk with the wise and become wise. But for a companion of fools suffers harm. Now, we often know this proverb more than anything else because it's used in the world a lot. You know, they say, yeah, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, you know. And all sorts of positive life coaching, etc., goes with that. But here is a real reality that the people that we are friends with can shape our lives and our future. So when we're thinking about which friend should we have, good or, you know, good or bad, well, where do you think those people that you're with are taking you or could take you? Now, often we think, well, yeah, but I'm a Christian. I'm going to get into that group. I'm going to convert them all. And they're all going to follow me. But the reality is that you want their approval so much and want to fit in, as I was saying earlier, that actually they end up swaying you. And we've got to be really careful. We've got to listen to God if that's what we feel God's asking us to do. We've got to use wisdom. Because if we walk with the corrupt, we will become corrupt. If we walk with the greedy, we will become greedy. There's another scripture that talks about when you walk with an angry man, you will become angry. Because good or bad, you want their approval. So how does that answer the question? Well, if you're thinking to yourself, how do I get out of the crowd? How do I release myself from wanting this approval so badly and doing what the crowd says I should do, what the influencer asks us to do? Think about your future. You've got to prioritize your future over your current want for approval. Because it's all very well getting the approval now, but you know, you can be best friends with one person for a month and it'll ruin the rest of your life because of what you did with that person, what actions you took with that person. So you can't just think of the now, what I need and my friendships. You've got to think about the future, your future self, looking after them, making sure we're making the right decisions now. That's a way of getting out of that trap. And of course, if you are that person in that prison cell with high, thick walls, doesn't want to get hurt, is that where you want to be for the rest of your life? Is that where you want to be in the future? I'm still asking you as well, gently, what about your future? Do you really want to stay in hurt for the rest of your life? Or do you think that you could walk with the healers and become healed? Walk with the godly people and become godly. Sit with the free, walk with the free and become free. Yeah, but what if those people are... Step out. Step out with God. Don't remain trapped. Proverbs 27 verse 6, tip number 2. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So there's two things to look at, again, two extremes. We've got kisses. Perhaps we like kisses more than wounds. I think most of us do, don't we? But the point here is, who is dishing out the wound and who's dishing out the kisses? So you might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm all right, you know, getting on with this crowd. They like me. They're saying all the right things to me, feeling good. But the intention behind that crowd that you're with, those people you're with, is it to help you Is it to support you? Or can they really be trusted? You might be thinking, oh, well, I think, you know, yeah, I know that I know I'm doing some things I shouldn't be doing. I know that you know, maybe I'm not on the right track here, but at least these people like me. Perhaps you like the feel of those kisses, but they're not from God. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. That tells you that actually there are relationships you can be in, friendships, godly friendships, where people can tell you the truth. Because we still have to do that. We can't pretend we're never going to hear something we don't want to hear again. But are you in a relation? Are you in friendships that someone can say, look, can I just say to you, I love you, brother, but can we work on this together? It can be like that. To encourage those that are hurt, there are relationships available like that. It is possible. So, I save the best to last. What does Jesus have to say about the subject? This is John 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. But wait for it, here it goes. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then this is the mic drop moment. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. And I think sometimes this can really sort of pass us by and go over our heads a little bit. If we just put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples that were listening to what Jesus was just saying. First of all, they are a rabbi-discipleship relationship, which is very much like a master-servant relationship. These disciples will do everything for the master. They serve the master. All they want to do is sit under his teaching and guidance. And he has just called them friends. Now, you might miss that. I used to call you servants, but now I call you friends. Now, for them, that would have been mind-blowing. Looking at each other, did he really say that? He's calling us friends. He's our rabbi. That's impossible. We can't have that a friendship with him. And in the background, we know that only Abraham was called God's friend. And Moses was described as speaking to God face to face, as one speaks to a friend. So their scripture would have only told them in very few occasions anyone called a friend of God. You know, it's just like an exception. But Jesus is saying to them, no longer my servants, you're my friends. Now this doesn't mean suddenly they can give him a high five, call him mate, dude, have a really informal relationship with him. That's not what we're saying. So what is Jesus calling us into? Well, let's just think about what he's saying. You're no longer a servant, but you're a friend. So a servant would approach someone and say, right, I'm indebted to you. I'm scared of you. I'll just do whatever you ask me to do, and I'll just go and do it. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know the background. I'll just do it. Just tell me what I need to do, and I'll do it as fast and efficient as I can. What's the instruction? That's a servant. But Jesus said, I don't call you a servant anymore. I call you a friend. Which is, I love you. Lord, I'll do anything you ask me to do. Actually, I've got a good idea about why you want me to do certain things through your word, through your Holy Spirit. What can I do for you? I want to spend time with you. I'm not scared to come and approach you. So Jesus is calling us into a different kind of relationship to what the disciples had. And I want to ask you, where do you sit on your, if you like, your spectrum of your relationship with God? Is it very, yep, okay. Or is there friendship? Are you somewhere along the line? Our friendship with Jesus is the most important thing. He says here, greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So Jesus is demonstrating that friendship is not something to be sniffed at. It's a serious thing. And so when we're choosing these relationships, these friendships, we've got to be committed to these things and be prepared to lay down our life for one another. Of course, Jesus here was prophesying because he was literally about to lay down his life for his friends. And he did that for us. And I want to just say to you this morning, perhaps there's people here that have no relationship with Jesus at all. And he's calling you into a friendship with him. Do you want to respond? Perhaps you need help with those influences to pull out of that trap. Perhaps you're sitting in that prison of hurt that you'd like to finally come out of. If any of these things you want support with, prayer for, you're welcome to come to the prayer corner at the end of the service. I'm going to finish with this, Romans 5, verse 10. For if, while we were God's enemies, when we were his enemies, not even his friends, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we love you because you loved us first. You loved us when we were at our very, very worst. You still loved us then. How are we to think you love us any less now? Thank you that your love sustains us, Lord. It also says, Lord, that your love is complete when we love one another. Lord, help us to form these God-centered relationships. Give us the boldness to stand up to the influencers and to choose your approval. And for those, Lord, that are stuck in hurt, release us, Lord. Show us the way out. And Lord, for those that are in a relationship with you, Lord, they love you, they believe in you. But Lord, maybe that relationship is confused or distorted. It's not the friendship, hasn't got the element of friendship that you would like them to have with you. We pray you draw them close, Father, and show them the way. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could have the worship team up, please.
That was a really lovely sermon, and as Mark said, friendships are very important. The Bible tells us that we definitely do need friendships, so I guess the prayer is just for God to guide us to who to be friends with, how to go about friendships, and to make sure that all our friendships model the friendship that God the Father has with us. The next song we'll be doing is Oh Praise the Name, just to give praise and glory to God. Just to point out something in that last song, especially with the lyrics, it just really focused on Jesus's sacrifice for us. And it just reminded me that friendship is give and take in the sense that things have to be sacrificed. And it doesn't have to be anything big. So in terms of our friendship with people, that can be giving time for someone, checking up on your friends, asking if they need help with something. Because that's what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. He sacrificed his life. So essentially, the least we can do, I guess, in some sense, is to sacrifice something for the people we spend time with, you know. So I'll talk to them, pray for them. People are going through so much, you can never know unless you ask. So the next song we're going to do is Reckless Love. This song follows on in the topic of love, in the sense that love comes with sacrifice, and the love God has for us is so immeasurable, so unconditional. So I guess it helps us to reflect that we should also give love to others, unconditional, as much as we can.
Down.
just a reminder to the church, there's nothing you can do to earn God's love. It's so unconditional. He loved us before we even accepted Him. Lord, I pray that we remember that in everything we do, Lord. Help us to show that same love to the people around us, and help us to bring them to Christ, Lord, with your love. In Jesus' name. Nicely brings our service to an end. There are teas and coffees in the lounge. I don't know if anyone would still be interested in that given the weather, but if you are, there are teas and coffees in the lounge. Thank you everyone for coming to church this Sunday, and I pray that as we leave that we won't depart from your presence, Lord.